It's 6:15. I'm going to call this public hearing to order. Everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance and remain standing for a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Take your seats.
Announcements. Fire evacuation plan. Please note that in the event of an emergency, the fire department has requested that legislators and all others move at least one block away from the county office building in order not to impede the firefighters in their duties. Cell phones. Please silence cell phones for the duration of the public hearings. Roll call. Archer. Bartels, Collins, DeLon, Donaldson, Eckert, Fabiano, Gerentine, Green, Haynes, Hepner, Litz, Lopez. He's here, I see him.
Craig, yeah,
there you go. You're here. Mayo, Maloney James, Maloney Joseph, Nolan, Petit, here. Roberts, Rodriguez,
present.
Ronk,
here.
Warrow,
here.
Waltman,
here.
16 present and 7 absent. Tonight's first public hearing is on proposed local law number 7 of 2018, a local law to reduce addiction to tobacco products by raising the minimum age for their purchase to 21.
How many speakers do we have?
19.
All right, there's something a little bit new here for folks who have been here before. We have, since it's 2018, ditched the paper warnings from the back of the room with a timekeeper and gone to a digital clock. So,
as long as she can make it work.
Yeah. So everyone, please watch the timekeeper. You're going to have 2 minutes to give your thoughts to us. And then once the 2 minutes is up, please, you know, try to wrap up your comments as quickly as possible. With that, Vicki, would you like to call the first speaker?
The first speaker is Vince Martello.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to take a few moments just to review the cost of tobacco in terms of lives cut short, unnecessary suffering, and healthcare costs due to smoking-related diseases. And why is public health so hyper-focused on tobacco? Because it kills 500,000 Americans every year. That's the equivalent of 3 747s crashing every day with no survivors. And we're all saddened about that the opioid tragedy takes so many lives. But the ratio of tobacco-related deaths to opioid deaths, and it doesn't diminish the opioid ones, is 8-1. Kills 9,600 people a week, tobacco. Here in Ulster County, 4 of the 5 leading causes of premature death are smoking due to smoking-related diseases. We have a smoking rate that's 6 points higher than the state average, 4 points higher than Mid-Hudson Valley regional average. And our adult smoking rate is 21.1%. But for low-income households, that rate is 36.3%. Why is that important? Because it's a social justice issue, and our local taxpayer share of Medicaid, which serves the low-income population, is $40 million a year, a huge portion of that attributable to smoking-related diseases. So you hear critics tonight saying that this proposed law is not effective and that it won't keep people from quitting smoking. Well, it's not about quitting smoking. It's about preventing initiation. This is an evidence-based practice that's endorsed by the CDC, Surgeon General, National Academy of Medicine, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and more. And the point is that by delaying the initiation of smoking, and by delaying initiation, it reduces the possibility that our kids will become addictive adult smokers. Some will continue to say that this law is not effective, yet in the 4 years following Massachusetts law changing the age to 21, smoking rates dropped 47% among high schoolers. So, as a parent, I would say, taking my Department of Health hat off, the message that your vote for this law will send to Big Tobacco.
Please wrap up your comments, Ben.
is that sure? Is that here in Ulster County, our children's health, their lives, and their futures are not for sale, not at any price. Thank you.
Chico Miller.
That would be Checo Miller. That's all right. Is this thing on? You hear me okay if I talk into this? Okay. So I'm going to say the raised age of to purchase harmful tobacco because adults' number one job is to raise healthy children. This will be a small step, but it's in the right direction. The question I have isn't that will adults pass this legislation law now, but why haven't adults done this long ago? For decades, we have all known the carnage caused by tobacco use and the tobacco industry that targets children, calling them replacement smokers to replace those who predictably die from their tobacco products. You know that 90 to 95% of smokers start before the age of 21. You, the adults in this room, will pass this legislation because you cannot deny these public health facts. Still, some adults look to blame children for the reason they start smoking, and that is because of peer pressure. When it is the adults that make the products, adults who target kids with the advertising, adults who sell the products, adults who put smoking scenes in even G-rated movies, adults who complain about the tobacco prevention laws are causing the forfeiture of legitimate sales. No, such laws are the forfeiture of lethal sales. Tobacco is the only product in widespread use designed solely to cause addiction, disease, and death. We'll talk about what happens in America and in this county, but 7 million people, according to the World Health Organization, die every year from smoking-related diseases. 7 million people every year. If you take your responsibility as an adult seriously, enacting this law is a no-brainer. But if you truly don't care about children, maybe you care about your money or your constituents' money. I'm talking tax dollars, which cost the state generally about $8 billion a year. Can we grasp how large $8 billion really is? Well, if you consider the length of time that equals 8 billion seconds, 8 billion seconds equals some 255 years. So that's all the seconds in time from this moment to back to the year 1763. That's what this one so-called legitimate product cost this one state taxpayers in 1 year, year after year.
Please wrap up your comments.
I will. Raising the age to buy tobacco products will save lives and save tax dollars. That should motivate you to come together and act to enact this law. And borrowing a phrase from youth, now leading adults, enough is enough. Hear people, not the lobbyists. Be adults, raise the age.
Your time is up.
And raise yourselves in the eyes of your children. Thank you.
One thing I failed to mention, folks, is if you have written comments that have not already been emailed to us and you don't get to get through all of your points, feel free to give them to the clerk and they'll be added to the record.
Greg Howard.
Good evening. I'm the executive director of Ulster County Community Action, and we're located down Lindsley Avenue. And for over 50 years, we've been serving children through our early childhood education and Head Start programs, serving about 244 kids per year. In addition, we have three outreach offices that serve over 6,800 families on the average per year. A lot of these families have children who grow up with many challenges and are sometimes not receiving the best appropriate role models in their life. These children deserve a chance to lead a better life, helping to achieve what could be a life without addiction. And I'm in support of Ulster County raising the minimum age to 21 for tobacco products purchase. In doing so, the youth gain the ability not to become addicted to this potentially awful and debilitating habit, the hope for improving their overall longevity, decreasing dependency on medical treatments, which saves millions of dollars in the end, and then thus making Ulster County a healthier place to live and to raise a family. New York City and 11 other counties throughout New York State have already passed these laws. These actions should serve as a wake-up call to the nation to send more bills like this to their local legislators to raise the age to 21 in every state. Thank you.
Thank you.
Christina Wanneke.
Thank you. My name is Christina Wienicke. As the Public Policy Director for the American Lung Association in New York, I'm glad to support the proposed strengthening and updating of Ulster County's tobacco regulations. And I would like to thank the Ulster County Legislature for putting forward this critical piece of legislation. You will see that I have passed around a jewel. Juuling is the latest phenomenon for our youth. It is not surprising that our youth are drawn to this product, as it looks cool, it smells great, and as a bonus, parents think it is a USB drive. The reality is, however, that in this pod, the Juul that is contained in this pod is the same amount of nicotine as in one packet of cigarettes. And in 2016, the dollar sales for Juuls increased by 707%. To be clear, Juuls are e-cigarettes and are tobacco products. The e-cigarette industry will attempt to mislead you with cherry-picked information. According to a new study from the CDC, the use of e-cigarettes has tripled among both high school and middle school students in just 1 year. The FDA has not deemed e-cigarettes to be an effective cessation device, and while the Lung Association applauds anybody who successfully quits smoking, whichever way possible, the fact is that e-cigarettes are now becoming a starting point for nicotine addiction and eventual traditional smoking for our youth. We know that the majority of convenience store retailers in Ulster County are already in compliance with laws. This should not present as a challenge to them. The fact is that cigarette sales to those under 21 account for only 2.1% of all sales, but because over 95% of smokers start before the age of 21, these are the very sales that produce 9 out of every 10 new smokers. And just in conclusion, I would like to take off my Lung Association hat and address one of the arguments that I have heard from a small group of opponents. That is that if you can serve in the military at 18, you should be allowed to choose whether or not to smoke. My partner is a captain with the National Guard, proudly commanding his unit here out of Kingston, New York. He recalls his first cigarette at 17 as a new recruit, and he then recalls smoking daily packs of cigarettes at the age of 30 when he was deployed to Guantanamo Bay. I am witness to the difficulty a strong-willed 35-year-old man has when trying to give up smoking after 18 years. He is soon going for his first lung screening as he falls into the high-risk category for lung cancer in the future. He readily supports this initiative and asks that you consider the lives of all young soldiers as important as the lives of all youth when considering this legislation. Finally, the Department of Defense has issued statements that support this type of legislation also. So with that, I urge you to pass this incredibly important piece of public health. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry. Has it traveled around?
Marge Gannon.
Hi, everybody. As a health and human service professional for over 40 years and also as a registered nurse, I would like to express my support to Ulster County in consideration of passing the Tobacco 21 law. This law recently passed in New York City protects youth by prohibiting the sale of tobacco to anyone under the age of 21. Adolescents feel social pressure in various ways, from wearing the latest clothing trends and styles to current music choices. Your child's friends are one of the strongest influences during this time in their lives, especially when it comes to risky behaviors like tobacco use. During the preteen and teenage years, your child is asserting their independence and exploring their identity. Yet they still crave the approval of their peers and often worry about being rejected. Peer pressure makes them feel they are being pulled in two directions. When it comes to smoking cigarettes, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services noted the rate among teens that have three or more friends who smoke is 10 times higher than those that reported none of their friends who smoke. As with restriction on the sale of alcohol to those under 21 years of age, prohibiting the sale of tobacco would be an additional way for us to protect the health of our children and to prevent future smokers. Thank you.
Megan Conroy.
Hello, all. I'm the community prevention specialist at Ulster Prevention Council, and we're particularly concerned about this local law. We know that increasing the minimum age of tobacco sales to 21 is a proven way to delay or possibly prevent smoking initiation, which lowers instances of addiction. Approximately 96% of smokers begin smoking before age 21, with most starting before the age of 16. I have heard from youth in the community that they often access tobacco from their peers, many of whom are 18-year-old seniors in high school. Raising the age of tobacco sales to 21 would mean youth would not have this access, and this would consequently lower the rate of access to the tobacco. With the use of electronic cigarettes on the rise, it is critical that we act to prevent youth from becoming addicted to tobacco products. It is important that we join the other counties in New York State that have joined the pledge as well to protect youth in our community. Thank you.
Diane Moore.
Good evening. I'd like to begin by sharing a quote from R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company. And I quote, "Youth represent tomorrow's cigarette business. They will account for a key share of total sales for at least the next 25 years," end quote. This is one of many such quotes from internal memos within the tobacco industry, leaving no doubt as to their intentions. I work with teens in my role as the reality check lead at Tobacco Free Action Communities. As a mother and an educator, it frightens me to know that they are seen by some, as customers for a deadly product, one that will later kill up to a third of them. So many of the people here tonight and others out in the community are concerned with protecting our young people from harm and doing everything they can to help them make mature decisions when they are adults ready to make those decisions. But our job is hard. Especially when there are those out there who stand to benefit from a young person becoming addicted to nicotine. The current epidemic of e-cigarette use is only a testament to that. Our focus as a community must be on keeping these dangerous products out of their hands. That's why I am really encouraged to see all of you here tonight working so hard to protect the lives of our young people. You really are making a difference.
Taj Iniguez.
Hello. I knew a kid named Dylan. I met him when he was 9 years old, and he was the funniest child I've ever met in my life. He was hilarious. He was full of life, and he just had this vigor about him. I watched him grow up with me, like, throughout the years of middle school until I had went to high school, mainly because I knew his older sister. And when I met him again in high school, he really changed, for the better at least. Until last Monday, where I knew that something was off and he had asked me to buy him a pack of cigarettes. I'm 19 years old, so I could easily do that, but of course I refused. I look at him as a little brother. I've always looked at him that way. And I know that even though I refuse, there's plenty of other kids that around my age, even older than me, that can easily get him this. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nasser Robinson.
Hello. If the age was increased to 21 to buy e-cigarettes in stores, this could prevent future deaths in Ulster County. I feel when younger people buy things like this, they don't know what they're getting themselves into. I know it's going to be a change for the stores, but I'd rather have that than deaths that could have been prevented if the age was increased to 21. That's all I have to say.
Emma Britton.
Hello. If the age is raised to 21, I think it would really help to keep kids in school from smoking and vaping. It is very common in school to see tobacco products being used, but raising the age to 21 would help limit the places they receive the tobacco products from. Thank you.
Khalil Iniguez.
Me, as a person who lived most of his life growing up in a low-income community, I noticed that the majority of the population in my neighborhood consumes tobacco and nicotine-related products. I feel that people like me are being targeted by the tobacco industry. It was too easy for us to become one of the largest group of consumers of tobacco products, simply because that we are identified as the lowest of the social class, most specifically economically and socially as far as respect. Examples include adolescents smoking, as well as it becoming a requirement to become cool or relax. I myself was once pressured and suffered a lot of exclusion. Older people consuming it, especially those who consume around their kids, as in kids in single digits. Young and old people distributing tobacco products for teenagers to purchase, which expands the products among the community. And now these products are being disguised for easier smuggling. I ask that you please do all that you can to protect my fellow community and members from tobacco. Thank you.
Melinda Herzog.
The Healthy Ulster Council represents over 20 agencies and organizations whose mission is to strengthen collaborations between organizations working to promote wellness, prevent illness, and improve health outcomes through collective action and projects. As the coordinator of the Healthy Ulster Council, and on their behalf, I'm asking you to consider the facts in deciding whether or not to increase the minimum legal consumer age for tobacco sales to 21. You've already heard a lot of facts tonight. I'm not going to reiterate them, but I would like to add and actually underscore what the youth that just came up here and spoke shared with you and summarize that 95% of addicted adult smokers begin smoking before the age of 21. And evidence shows that the younger the age a person is when they start smoking, the greater the risk of nicotine addiction, heavy daily smoking, and difficulty quitting. Smoking is known to cause cancer, heart disease, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, strokes. It's also linked to the incidence of type 2 diabetes, cataracts, age-related macular degeneration, and rheumatoid arthritis. 4 out of 5 of the leading causes of premature death in Ulster County are connected with smoking. And smoking kills 28,000 adult New Yorkers every year. An additional 750,000 adults in New York State live with serious smoking-related illnesses. Please consider these facts when making your decision as to whether or not to raise the minimum age. Why is that word so hard to say? Minimum age to purchase tobacco products to 21. help make Ulster County a healthier county. Thank you.
Alan Nace.
Good day. I work in the field of addictions, and I have also have a private practice. And for the last 25 years, I've been working with addictions and mental health issues, and substance use disorders, dependence. I'm also a big fan of business, so I see some conflicts within myself here, and I want businesses to make as much money as possible because I believe in capitalism. But when I look at it from the physical dependence, the addiction perspective, which I see every day, and I can tell you that every research article I've read, and I've read quite a number over the years, shows that the earlier you have access to a substance, whatever that substance is, whether it's the drugs that we're talking about or alcohol or tobacco, the greater the likelihood that someone will develop a dependence. So I would urge that we increase the age for a number of reasons. One, so that we can delay access to that substance and reduce the amount of young people who become addicted. And the other is that in terms of dollars and cents, when I look at it, someone may make a few dollars more today, but the healthcare cost down the road for people is astronomical. I'm a reformed smoker. I know how hard it is to quit, like someone was talking before. And if you think about it, just look at one of the youth that are here today, or the local Little League team, or soccer team, or cheerleaders. And if one of them, just one of them, didn't start smoking and get lung cancer and succumb to it or reduce their quality of life, I think it would be well worth it and more than offset the cost or the revenue that people make. Thank you.
Marianne Forgy.
Good evening. I'm a professor at Fordham University. I've been at Fordham for 23 years, but I was born and raised in Kingston, and I moved back with my husband in 2012. And I have to say, I was so happy to see that this bill is being considered by the legislature. As you have heard, it was passed in New York City, and not that we ever want to just do what New York City is doing, but I think this is one situation where we might want to pay attention. But I urge you to pass this bill for two simple reasons that have been stated already, and that is the younger people start, the more likely they will become addicted, and also the longer that you smoke, the more risk of developing serious illness as a result. I also was glad and to see that this legislation also includes e-cigarettes and all the products with vaping. I think there's a tremendous amount of misinformation out there, particularly among our young people, assuming that somehow that form of smoking is safer. That is misinformation, and so I hope that you will pass this bill because it will also prevent that form of usage as well. Thank you very much.
Evelyn Clark.
You're on this. I'll say something. I didn't know I was on the list.
You're always on the list, Evelyn.
Good afternoon. As the director for the Youth Bureau, it's the county has invested a lot in our youth, and I think that this is a worthwhile investment, very important, that we will raise the age. This county is pretty progressive. I've been at a lot of meetings throughout the state with other youth bureaus, and Ulster County always stands out. And I think that this will be a very worthwhile endeavor for us to stand out in this area, making sure that our youth are not able to just go and buy cigarettes at the age of 18, 19, and 20. So I encourage you to pass this law. Thank you.
Alex Steyer.
Good afternoon. Many of you might know me from Olive's Country Store, the mobile station up on Route 28. I also have Home Plate Deli. I'm also a realtor in the community, former police officer in New Paltz, so I go way back. I sell cigarettes to people legally. One of the things I want you to take a look at is possibly not passing the law the way it stands or the amendment to go in, but to look at it and say, well, it's not really the purchasing at 18 or 19, it's the smoking, and the smoking at 16. So if you're against that, then make it illegal to possess and not just purchase. What happens is that if I'm selling something legally, whether it was alcohol for the 18 or 19-year-old, and now it's 21, we have constant laws that are coming and affecting the small business owner. Will I survive? Certainly. Yet at the same time, I look at it and say, if you feel that the law should be changed, maybe it should be changed to make it illegal to possess. So as people look at it the way it is, because what better feeling? What's going to happen next week when all of a sudden the person going into Dunkin' Donuts is told, gee, that's too much sugar in that drink? Or they go into Starbucks and get a half cap, whatever they call it, and it's pure sugar. Well, maybe there should be a law for that. But then am I going to get told that I can't sell a Coke? So basically it's looking at where do we stop with making the laws and actually looking at people saying, what's your responsibility to, you know, take action and responsibility for yourself? Thank you.
Jim Calvin.
I'm Jim Calvin, president of the New York Association of Convenience Stores. Thank you for patronizing Alex's store in Chocan and Home Plate Deli. When it comes to preventing underage sales of tobacco during undercover inspections by your health department, our stores have a compliance rate at or near 100%. So we're doing our job of preventing youth access to tobacco. And that's because that as parents and as citizens and as responsible business owners, we share the common goal of preventing youth access to tobacco. But we oppose this bill because we don't think it will work. Most of the speakers you've heard from this evening are operating under the assumption that once 18, 19, 20-year-olds can't buy cigarettes, then they won't be able to give cigarettes to younger kids. But there will be a multitude of ways that 18, 19, and 20-year-olds can still obtain cigarettes, legally and otherwise. Delaware County, 18. Greene County, 18. Dutchess, 18. More significantly, social sources. Think about it. If a 15-year-old kid is resourceful enough to be able to obtain cigarettes illegally from older relatives and older friends, won't a 19-year-old be equally resourceful in obtaining cigarettes if he or she wants to? The bottom line is we don't think it will work. What we do think will work is, as Alex alluded to, a possession law. At least with a possession law, you can take away the cigarettes that the kid obtained from Uncle Earl or Lenny down the block or Mommy's pocketbook. That would be far more effective than penalizing retailers who are doing their job every day in preventing youth access to tobacco. Thank you.
Ellen Reinhard.
Good evening, everyone. The bottom line is tobacco use is still the number one cause of preventable death, and it is nothing else, no drug kills more people than tobacco. Because tobacco is so harmful, we should do everything we can to prevent our young people from use. Addiction starts early to nicotine, and nearly all adult smokers, as you've heard, begin smoking before they turn 21. And recruiting our young people to be replacement smokers is something the tobacco industry has done always. And they need to do that to maintain their business and to protect their company profits. So no matter what the tobacco companies say or do, they can't stay in business unless young people smoke. Increasing the sale age of all tobacco products will help prevent young people from ever starting to smoke and reduce the death, disease, and healthcare costs caused by tobacco. So raising the sale age for tobacco to 21 will reduce the number of young people who begin tobacco use, will reduce the number of people who suffer the health consequences of tobacco use, will reduce the cost associated to treat people with tobacco-related conditions, and improve the overall health of our communities here in Ulster County. There is very good community support for this as well. We conduct a survey every year, independent survey from a survey company, and according to our new 2018 stats, 62% of adults in Ulster County support raising the age to all tobacco products to 21. I want to thank the county executive and the Ulster County Legislature, all of you, for continuing to take all these steps that you've done in the past for limiting our young people to use tobacco. From the no smoking on county property and e-cigarette use to our county tobacco retailer license. Increasing the sale of tobacco to 21 is another critical step that will help prevent our young people from having a lifelong addiction to tobacco. I thank you very much for listening to all of us today.
Julie Hart.
Hi, everyone. I think I'm the last speaker, so you're going to get a little break here. Second to last. Scratch that. So my name is Julie Hart. I'm the Government Relations Director for the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. So thank you for the opportunity to speak here. I'm not going to repeat some of what everybody else said as far as statistics. I know that you know that tobacco use causes cancer and so forth. But just a couple of things that I wanted to highlight. I think one of the things that people think is that, you know what, we've already won the war on tobacco. We all remember those days when you can smoke at bars, when you could smoke on an airplane. Everybody has one of those stories. I actually have one of those stories. My mom smoked in the delivery room. So, yeah, we've come a long way. And it's okay, though. It was my brother, not me. So I'm good. But I do want to address just a couple of quick things that you have heard tonight in terms of, the number of localities that have adopted Tobacco 21. Some people talked about that and highlighted that. It's actually 18 different localities in New York State. So there's some counties and some towns. So we have 18 different localities that have already adopted this measure. And we also have, that's in New York. Across the nation, there's 294 localities that have adopted this. And why are they doing this? Because research shows Tobacco 21 works. The evidence shows that. Now, I know we've also heard conflicting, proposals or discussions about, you know what, well, let's punish youth instead. Well, the reason they said they think that will work is because the evidence has shown, there is no evidence to show that possession laws reduce tobacco use initiation or possession. So that's why all of these 18 localities, they're not possession laws. They're sale laws, and they increase the age to 21. So that's the primary reason there. And in addition, all 18 local laws, in addition, all 294 laws across the nation do include the military. The primary reason is because the military is not asking for an exemption. They have concerns about military readiness, and we want to protect not only our youngsters that are not in the military, but the young men and women who protect us every day deserve the same protection against the tobacco industry. So thank you for the opportunity.
The last speaker signed up is Heidi Kirshner.
Hello, I'm Heidi Kirshner with the YMCA, and every year I see over 10,000 kids come through my doors and my programs, and some of them like to bounce basketballs, others like to play volleyball, some kids love to do cannonballs in the pool, others like to run, some are serious, some are mischievous, some are giggly, some are tall, some are short. Some have curly hair, some have straight hair, some have pink hair, blue hair, some have no hair. Some wear sweats, some wear jeans with holes in them. And so these are my kids. And I bet you they're also like your kids or the kids that you know, right? So these kids are our most valuable resource. They are our most precious commodity that we could possibly have in our community, in our county, in our nation, and in our world. And I think it's really important that although a lot of kids get good direction, some kids just lose their way, and it doesn't matter where they come from. And I think it's up to us to help these kids. One of my missions is to make our young adults be successful in life. And what that means is that they can attain whatever it is that they want to become in life. And I think we owe it to ourselves as adults in this community to help our kids be successful and achieve their goals. And that might mean that we have to clear the way for them a little bit. And by making this, passing this bill, I think we're helping our kids. It might not be the end all, but I think it's a good step that helps us move in the right direction of helping our most precious commodity be successful in life. And that will help us in life make our lives better as well. Thank you.
That was the last person signed up to speak. I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing. Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Public hearing is closed. Vicki, call the next one.
Tonight's second public hearing is on proposed local law number 8 of 2018, a local law amending local law 6 of 2014 to improve and strengthen the sustainable energy loan program. And there is one speaker signed up, and that speaker is Sarah Smiley.
Hi, I'm Sarah Smiley. I'm Director of Member Services for the Energy Improvement Corporation, also known as EIC. Thank you for this opportunity. We are the not-for-profit local development corporation that Ulster County joined as a member in April of 2015 to implement the Sustainable Energy Loan Program, also known as Energized New York Property Assessed Clean Energy, or PACE Finance. PACE Finance is a public benefit authorized by New York State Statute Article 5L and enabled here in the county through Local Law 6 of 2014. PACE helps owners of commercial property and nonprofits who wish to upgrade their buildings in order to lower energy costs and/or install renewable energy with low-cost capital that is repaid on the annual tax bill of the property. In September of 2017, the New York State Legislature and Governor Cuomo amended Article 5L to make PACE more accessible for energy efficiency and renewable energy projects. The amendments to Article 5L requires action by the EIC member municipality, namely amending your existing EIC municipal agreement governing how the program is administered here, and amending your existing local law to conform to the changes made to Article 5L. And those changes are allowing the governing administrator to determine the maximum amount of financing that would be permitted. There was previously a 10% cap based on property value, which disadvantaged people in areas of lower property value, and our board has approved an increase to 35%.
permitting remote net metering and community solar projects. This will enable EIC to develop products that distribute the benefits of solar energy to those who do not have the right building type and to expand the benefit across multiple sites. And this type of product would need approval from the municipality before implementation. Three is allowing the use of state as well as federal sources of funds for PACE reserves, which creates the opportunity for municipalities with lower credit ratings to participate in PACE. Adopting the positive savings to investment ratio used by NYSERDA and its new commercial PACE guidelines that requires that the estimated savings of the proposed project to be greater than the costs. And as part of this expanded program, we'll also allow the PACE charge to be placed on the tax bill at the onset of construction, which is the norm in most PACE programs and standard practice for most project developers. And finally, I'll just say that we now have 44 members across the state representing more than half the population outside of New York City, and we look forward to offering PACE capital to more property owners as a result of these amendments and helping our members increase the adoption of clean energy in your communities. Thank you very much.
That's the last speaker for that public hearing. Legislator Litz? Second? All in favor? Opposed? Public hearing is closed. Yeah, library.